I'll be reading Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." This is the word of God.
Thank you, Siutin, for the reading of the word. Now, it is always a... my laptop. Need to start up again. It is always a blessing and privilege to be here on this pulpit to share the word of God. And I want to first welcome again the boys and girls from the Boys and Girls Brigade who are here with us today. Whether you are at the drill camp, company camp, or recruits camp, I want to welcome you. And even though as students, you always come to this sanctuary, you come to this sanctuary every week, I'm sure you can see how a Sunday service is kind of same, but different. And to every one of you who are here today, welcome to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. And I pray that you will have a blessed Sunday with us. Now allow me to pray before we continue. God, we humbly come before you this morning and ask that as we listen to your word, your Holy Spirit will work in us and grant us understanding and conviction of who you are and your message for today. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Snapchat, and much more. You know, these are just social media that I've kind of seen, experienced over the years. And I think today there are even more social media available. And many of them are connected to one another. Now, even our church has a kind of a social media presence. We have our webpage. Hopefully you have visited it at least once. And we also have an Instagram account. You can even find us on Facebook, although we are not very active there. And I think it is a good thing. It is necessary for us as a church to have that online presence because social media has such a great influence on people today. Whether the young, the old, you know, anyone who spends a considerable amount of time on social media are influenced by what they see, what they hear, and experience through it. Now, I found this on the web. I don't have more recent info, but I can see how the number of users increased many folds over a matter of few years. I'm sure there's so much more now. Now, so even if you don't have a social media account, if you have WhatsApp, I'm sure you receive messages, articles, news, videos, you know, that someone will extract from social media site. They'll share the link through WhatsApp. It is so pervasive. This is so invasive today. And there's so many content that is, so much content that is shared, that is retold, even repackaged, that sometimes I have no idea what to believe. You know, sometimes you get articles that talks about how to keep fit, you know, on what to eat, on how maybe like drinking wine is good or not good. You know, articles on how messy people are actually smart, late people are more intelligent. A while back, I read this supposedly viral article. No, it's not some virus, just something that spread very quickly, widely popularized by social media. So this article reads, science says people who are always late are more successful and live longer. And then there are other articles that reads, science says people who talk to themselves are geniuses. Then there's another one. Science says your meanest friend is the one who actually wants the best for you. Now, for a person who is perpetually late, you know, the article would be very good. You know, to a student who likes to sleep in, who likes to sleep late, you know, the article would be gladly shared to their parents. To a mean person, I'm sure the article would serve to justify their actions. Now, all of you know that the pastors, the leaders in church, wants the best for you, right? So forgive us when we are mean. Allow us to be mean to you. Just joking, eh? You know, my point here is really just that people look for things that affirms what we really want. You know, it's not something that really helps. It might not be something that really helps. And we look for, we share articles or even news that supports or encourages what is good for us. As a coffee drinker, this will be an article I'll share 1,000 times and more. Especially to people who will question me, why don't you drink tea? Tea is so nice, tea is so good. You know, coffee can make you smarter. And there's a list that goes down. One of it is you can live longer. So the thing is, while there are many viral articles online today, you know, some which we might like, most of us actually don't follow what the article says or promotes. You can like the article about how people who talk to themselves are geniuses. But you will not actually start doing it. You might not dare to do it. And if you see somebody talking to themselves, you might just frown at them, stare at them, think that they're weird. Or you may like an article about being environmentally friendly, but you still use plastic bags, you use straws like there's no tomorrow. You know? It is really one thing to like an idea, but a totally different thing to follow it. You know, there's a cost to follow through with the ideas that we like. And I think in our passage today, the rich ruler faces a similar dilemma. He likes Jesus. He likes what Jesus had been teaching. Now, the rich ruler is likely someone of considerable wealth and status. He could be an official of some sorts, or maybe even a synagogue ruler. Luke doesn't say more about who he is, but in the parallel passages, which you can find in Matthew and Mark, he is known as the rich young man. So he comes to Jesus and he asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a question that is also raised earlier in the book of Luke, in chapter 10. A lawyer came to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus has been teaching about how God grants eternal life, but many of them think that they can inherit. So both of them like the idea of God, of what Jesus had been teaching, this idea of eternal life. But they really did not understand fully what God is talking about, what Jesus is teaching in terms of eternal life. It is not something that can be inherited through what a person does. And it's definitely not true flattery. You know, when I look at this sentence, this opening sentence from the rich ruler, I'm thinking, how does he know? Has he been following Jesus? Why would he come to him and call him good teacher? Is he trying to flatter him? So I think Jesus doesn't entertain his poor attempt of flattery, but points the rich ruler to God, who alone is good, and to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, which the rich ruler actually says that he has kept them all from youth, since he was a young man, a young boy. And I think that will be a surprise to anyone of us who has actually heard and read the Ten Commandments. All of this he has kept since his youth. It's not easy. We have problems keeping school rules even. We have problems keeping simple laws in the country. Now, we have no idea how truthful the rich ruler is. But again, it sounds like he's trying to impress Jesus and the people who are listening. Now, there is something that the ruler likes about Jesus. Maybe it is the teachings about eternal life, or he wants the assurance from this good teacher about what he has done, that what he has done since his youth about keeping the Ten Commandments is enough to inherit eternal life. But Jesus tells the rich ruler in verse 22, "One thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." One thing you still lack. Now, for all of his efforts, you know, in keeping the commandments since his youth, he hears that he still lacks one thing: to sell all that he has, to distribute them to the poor, then to follow Jesus. Now, we have no idea how this rich ruler gained his wealth, but on hearing Jesus, he became extremely sad because he was extremely rich. So again, really, while he liked what Jesus was teaching and the idea of eternal life, he couldn't give up what he had in order to follow Jesus. He couldn't bear to give up his possessions, his wealth on this earth in order to gain the treasures in heaven. He liked Jesus, you know, but he could not follow him because of what it demanded of him. The cost was too high, and perhaps he was also disappointed that all his efforts in keeping the commandments could not earn him eternal life. In verses 24 to 25, we read that Jesus, on seeing the ruler had become sad, points out the crux of the matter. How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Even though the rich ruler claims to have kept the commandments, the truth is that he had already broken the first commandment. Anyone can tell me what the first commandment is? You shall have no other gods before me. You know, in truth, this rich ruler had already allowed his wealth to turn into his God. His wealth had become his source of refuge, his security, his assurance. It was so real and dear to the rich ruler that he could not imagine giving it up for eternal life. He could not imagine exchanging his earthly wealth for treasures in the kingdom of God. Could we bear to give up our riches, our treasures, our possessions for something that we like? You know, have you given up something, anything, for the kingdom of God? Now, we know that the disciples could. We know for sure that those who had followed Jesus from the beginning really gave up all they possessed, their form of livelihood, in order to follow Jesus. And so, in contrast to the rich ruler who likes Jesus, the disciples are the ones who actually followed him. And yet, what do we see? What do you think these disciples were thinking as they listened to the conversation between the master and the rich ruler? Verse 26, for those who heard it said, then who can be saved? Below are just parallel passages from Matthew and Mark. You can see from the passage that these disciples were astonished, they were greatly surprised, and perhaps they were even a little bit traumatized by Jesus' answer. And they asked him, you know, during the time of Jesus, actually even today, I think we have that similar perception that the rich, the successful are really blessed by God. So if the rich and the supposedly blessed people cannot get into the kingdom of God, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? You know, for our boys and girls here, it's like after going through weeks, days of drill training under the hot sun, and then hearing your officer says that none of you will be in the drill team. After a few months, you know, especially last year, BB anniversary, all the training, and then suddenly say, okay, the drill is cancelled. Now the natural question a lot of you will ask is, oh, who is in the drill team? What happened? Who can qualify? Who can be saved? I think Jesus provides an answer that we will never be fully able to understand or explain, but it is something that we can experience in our own lives. You know, Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. There can be a thousand ways where we try to explain what it means, but really, it takes that experience to know what it means. Now, while it is difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, it is not because of their wealth or their possessions. It is about their heart condition. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets of God will often rebuke the rich for their disobedience to God because they did not use their wealth and possessions generously, because they do not bless the poor and needy, especially with what they had in excess. You can read books like Amos and Micah, and you can see how God sends his prophet to rebuke them. So it doesn't matter how much riches or possessions we have, no matter how important they might seem to us or how tight we hold on to them. You know, Jesus calls us, just as he calls the rich ruler, to give them up for the treasures of God's kingdom. And while it is hard, really hard, for the rich to change their mind, to become more generous and giving, even for us to change our minds about things we hold dear to, you know, what man cannot do, God is able to do. God can bring about a change of heart in those who are willing, in those who would trust him. And for those who are able to do so, it is truly God who makes it possible. Peter follows in verse 28 and tells Jesus, see, we have left our homes and followed you. Maybe he was surprised, astonished, traumatized by Jesus. But Peter is really asking the question to Jesus, have we done enough? As he listens to the conversation, he asks Jesus, have we done enough? See, we have left our homes and followed you. Will we have eternal life? He wants to remind Jesus that the disciples had indeed left behind their all to follow Jesus. So for Peter and the disciples, it's not just about liking Jesus and what he taught. They believed in him. And if you take a look at Luke chapter 5, when Jesus first calls the disciple, you can see such humility compared with the rich ruler. Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw Jesus, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, Peter had no doubt about his position before Jesus. You know, the rich ruler, on the other hand, while he calls Jesus good teacher, I think he gives the impression that he has done enough to deserve eternal life. On the other hand, Peter is just coming before Jesus as a sinful person. So both Peter and the rich ruler understood the cost of following Jesus. Now, one could not bear the cost, and he walked away sad. The other gave it all up so that he could follow after Jesus. Which one of them are you like? I've changed my kind of third point from what you have in the bulletin. I changed it to say, do you just like Jesus or are you ready to follow him? Now the question as we look at today's passage is whether we understand the cost of following Jesus. There are things we like about Jesus, about what he taught. Now we like that he died for us. He died so that we can be set free. We like that he loves us unconditionally. We like that he forgives us for everything, almost anything. Or maybe we just like the idea that he is only a prayer away. You can turn to God at any time. You can turn to Jesus at any time. All of us have heard, we have, and we remember something about Jesus that we like and that we would want to experience for ourselves. Things that are beneficial for us, you know, like some prayer that would help us, would encourage us for our career, our studies, relationships, or to overcome our fear of tomorrow, of the unknown. Perhaps a miracle where you ace the exams or be cured completely of an illness. We like that God, Jesus, provides hope when situation seems hopeless, and all of us want that. Yet very often we are like the rich ruler in our misunderstanding that what it takes to receive all these blessings is about what we can do. You know, we think that we can do something, or we think that we have achieved something in our life right now, that we have done enough to deserve the eternal life that God promised and all of the blessings that Jesus proclaims. We think we are good enough, maybe because we follow some of the things God calls us to do, because we obey some of the things we like and we accept, and we think that is enough. But as I mentioned earlier about the rich ruler, while he claimed to have kept the commandments since his youth, the truth is he places his riches and possessions in a much higher position than God. He likes Jesus, but that is all. He cannot and he will not follow Jesus because in his heart, something else is more important than God, more important than the eternal life that God promises. Now, wealth and possessions are two of the most common things that takes the place of God in a person's life. But there really are many other things that will challenge us. You know, our achievements, our careers, our pride, even our family. All these threatens to crowd out God in our lives. You know, the earthly things, earthly treasures that ties us to this world rather than frees us to pursue the infinite treasure of God. I think what is really scary is also how so many of us easily choose the things of this world over the kingdom of God. You know, it can be we go for a late night movie instead of staying home for our quiet time. You know, we have games with friends and schoolmates instead of working on our Bible study. We have late night revision for a test rather than Sabbath rest. Overtime work, maybe an evening out with colleagues instead of time with God. For most of us, we just like to laze at home, doing nothing. You know, it is so easy to push aside our time with God for something else. Because we may like God, but quite often we don't trust him enough to follow fully. We like Jesus, we like the idea of a savior, but we do not want to follow him and trust him for eternity. We like that he calls us to come to him, but we really do not want to follow him to the cross. And we do not trust that he is our refuge, our anchor, our protection in times of need. No, we like the image of Jesus being loving and kind, but we cannot follow the image of Jesus going to the cross. We do not trust that he is enough, whether for now or for eternity. It is not difficult to like what Jesus offers. You know, many people out there who are not Christians will say, oh, these teachings of Jesus is good and well, but they cannot follow. Because there's a price to pay, a cost to bear, a change of lifestyle, a change of what we like and what we enjoy. You know, do you trust Jesus enough to let him take control of your life? You don't have to sell all your possessions or empty your bank account, but you have to trust God on how to use them. You know, one day God might ask you to sell everything, empty your bank account so that you can go to another country. Or God might ask you to empty your bank account to support an overseas mission or charity. Will you trust God when that happens? Or perhaps God will impress upon you to change your job, to give up a good work opportunity, or the Holy Spirit might lead you to tithe more than what you have been giving. Will you trust God as your financial security? Or maybe God wants you to let go of that status and popularity you have in school. You know, you are the cool kid. You are the top student. Maybe God wants you to give that up. So if and when the Spirit of God speaks to you, will you trust God? Will you trust that he has something better for you? I like this picture of how Jesus speaks to a young child, asking for that little teddy bear in exchange for a bigger one that she cannot see. Our passage today begins with the question of eternal life. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And it closes with eternal life. As a Christian, we place our all into our relationship with Jesus, and we trust God with our lives, our well-being, our present, and our future. And that is faith, to trust God wholeheartedly for our current and eternal life. It is also faith to accept that there is nothing we can do, nothing more we can do to deserve God. It is by grace alone, it is by the grace of God that we can be changed, that we are transformed day by day into someone who can, who desires to follow Jesus and his teaching. It is faith to know that what is impossible with man is truly possible with God. What we have been led to sacrifice is not in vain. You know, God will honor us for all of it. Maybe today you are considering if you can bear that cost and follow Jesus. You like what you have heard about who Jesus Christ is. You like what you know about who Jesus is. And I encourage you to take time to pray. To pray that God will work the seemingly impossible in you so that you can give up your earthly treasures for the kingdom of God. Maybe all of us are struggling with following Jesus fully. So we can pray that we understand what it means to follow him, to count our cost, and look at what we can give up for him. Now, to end with this sentence, we really cannot like Jesus and all he stands for without bearing the cost of following him and trusting him. We cannot like Jesus and all that he stands for and not bear the cost to follow him and trust him. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for your word that speaks. We acknowledge your goodness, your love, and your grace for all of creation. We acknowledge that your ways are higher than ours and your will much better than ours. And so as you reach out to us, as you call out to us, we ask that you empower us to follow you. For those among us who have yet to accept you as Lord and Savior, I pray for the Holy Spirit to empower and to show them what it means to follow you. For some of us, those of us who are struggling, who are tired, I pray that the Holy Spirit grants us the assurance that our work is not in vain, that our sacrifice over the months and years are not in vain. We ask that, Lord, you continue to bless your church and your people, so that we will not only like your grace, but we will follow you in service for the kingdom of God. Be with us, Lord. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.